getting a hug this morning, didn't you? Miss Pat, Mr. Tom, not here this morning so far. Y'all miss getting a hug. You miss getting loved. Love is the greatest gift of all. Amen? Love is the greatest gift of all. The only way to conquer evil is with love. You don't argue with evil. You don't try to make a deal with evil. You don't compromise with evil. You overcome evil with love. Amen? That's why you're here in church this morning, to share some love, to share God's word this morning, to make you stronger in the world, to make you stronger to deal with situations in life that other people find absolutely impossible. And then we pray for others and we lift up. And it's not always with conversation. How many know that? Sometimes there are no words to say. There's two families in New York City today that no words are going to comfort. But love will be the answer. Hugs and just a quiet time. Just a quiet time to heal. Love is the healer. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and pray together. We have the love of love. We have God in our lives. I want you to know right now that Jesus loves you. He loves you, adores you, and wants more for you than you can ever want for yourself. He is our God, our Father in heaven. Every time this world, this planet that He created, every time it turned back to God, blessings fell upon blessings to even those who did not even believe there was a God. That's the God that we worship and the God that we love. That's why we come to this church, to know more about Him, because He knows everything about you. You need to know more about Him and that He is involved in every minute of your life. We've been reading about Joseph. He's a real person. It wasn't a story somebody made up. Joseph's bones are buried in Goshen. He is a real person who walked with the Lord, and in every injustice never said anything except to God. And God lifted him higher and higher. That's what He does for us each and every day. The more you know Him, the more you trust Him, the more you lean on Him, your life changes. Because He is love, and love is the greatest gift of all. Father, we invite You into this church, this glorious church. We invite You in. We invite the angels to come and surround this church as we praise Your name and sing praises to Your name and read Your word and fellowship and grow stronger in the knowledge of You. Because that is our main, just that is everything, to know You better. The Bible says when we draw closer to God, He draws closer to us. What a blessing. Thank You for this day. Thank You for all in attendance this morning who got up this morning in their right mind and got this day that was not promised yesterday on the right path, coming to Your house, the house that they're building for You, Lord. We just thank them and we just ask You to bless them and open their hearts to receive what we're going to pray about and read about today. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen? How we sing together 7 days a week, 3 shows a day we've been doing. God's blessed us with wonderful weather. We got so much to be thankful for. But every now and then we still mess up. I'm sorry. I mess up. And it's true. No, I did. I did. I take the blame. For sure. We've been so blessed with the jobs and the weather, and it's been a wonderful thing. And we've had more folks come and enjoy our Christmas concerts that we've been doing, because we've been doing other songs than the ones that they're all singing. And one of them is this particular song that my bride sings, and we'll sing it for you this morning and put you right there and seeing the baby laying right there in the crib, right there in the manger. Our humble Christ, born in a manger, amen? Not born in a mansion, born in a manger, because He's come to serve us, amen? To come to save us, come to help us, to lift us, not to rule over us, amen? He didn't come here to boss us around. He came here to lead us to victory, amen? I am so thankful that for the last month we've been talking about love. We've been talking about healing. We've been talking about anger being the enemy, amen? We've been talking about about anger being the devil's work. Amen. Because this morning we can pray together with a heart of, even with the heart of sadness, what you saw and things that are happening in the world, we can pray with that. But we know that we released the anger. Amen. We didn't carry the anger. Amen. It's a good feeling to know that God's Spirit is inside of you. Amen. It doesn't mean that you don't get upset. How many know that? Because let me tell you, you get upset throughout the day. Things upset you. You even argue with your spouse once in a while. Anybody confess to that? Put your hand down, Lord. Does it make it wrong? Of course not. We're human, amen? And those that have feelings inside, those that have so much emotion, those are the ones. Those are the ones that carry it. Those are the ones that want everything to be right. Those are the ones that want everybody to be happy. Those are the ones that want to know how beautiful this Jesus is. Amen? That's why they get that way. Because they're emotionally attached to God. Amen? And to things that they want right in the world. Hallelujah. And we want things to be right in the world, don't we? You know, God takes tragedy and turns it into victory for Him. How many know that? He takes something that looks so evil and turns it around so that He is victorious again. Amen? When we lean on God, you look in this Bible. And if you don't want to read the Bible, look at history. You look at every turn in history. When people turned back to God, what happened in their lives? What happened when the world turned back to God? Blessings, amen? Things grew better, amen? Every time in history people turned back to Him, the world changed for the better, amen? Only when we forgot about Him and we let darkness enter the world is when trouble seemed to get really bad. But then the world turned back to God. Testimony. How many want God moving in their life? You want God moving in your life. You say, well, He's God. How can we make Him move? Because His Word says. Because His Word tells us how. It says, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Amen? So when you give, it is given back. He said, give and I will give back. Say that with me. Give and I will give back. You want God moving in your life? You forgive. You trust Him with that. You forgive that person. You forgive the situation. And God can fill that. Amen? He said to ask. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Amen? He said to ask. So you want God moving in your life? You ask Him. Don't get ahead of God. A lot of people ask for something, and and then they got to wait. So what they do is they get ahead of God. Well, I'll help you, Lord. I know I asked you, Lord, to do this for me. And Lord, I want you to do it for me. And I want you to do it your way because I'll mess it up. And then 2 hours go by and they say, well, I guess I got to help you. And so you start helping God. And this might be a surprise to you, folks, but God doesn't need your help. He needs your faith. He needs you to trust Him. Amen? He needs you to trust Him in all things. You want God to move in your life, sometimes you got to seek. Amen? You got to really look for it. You got to spend some time showing Him that when He blesses you with what you've asked Him for, that you can handle it. Somebody said, well, I want to be the CEO of a company. Okay. Then you better go to school for about 12 years, and you better learn how to do the job, because He's not going to make you the CEO of the company until you're ready. Amen? Because you represent who? Hallelujah. You want to run in sports. You want to be an athlete. You say, Lord, I want to win the triathlon. God said, great, I'll help you. But before I do, you got to learn how to ride a bike, swim, and run. Amen? He's not going to make you. He's not going to give you something you're not ready for. Because you're calling on who? But you're making Him move in your life. When you knock, what is that? You hear that? That's a noise. It says knock. That's a noise. You got to make noise with God sometimes. You got to just make noise. You got to just let Him know that you're ready. And let Him know you're ready every day. You can ask God not to tarry. How many know that? You can ask the Lord, please don't tarry. But when you're ready, He'll know you're ready. And He will move you in ways that no other man can. Listen to me. He will move in ways no other man can move in your life. Amen? You want God moving in your life. You want God involved in your life. You want God involved in school. You got absolutely beautiful. Good to see you guys. God will move with you in school. He will move with you in school. He will, yes, good to see you. You will find favor with teachers. You will find favor with your professors. You will find favor. You will learn things. Things will come to you easier. Yes, they will. God shows favor to those who love Him. Amen? But here's the thing. You're not doing something like nobody else can have. And that's the thing with God that I love. People say it's not fair. Oh, it's not fair. Oh, it's not fair. Well, you don't know the work that was behind the not fair. You don't know the hours and the study and the struggle behind that was not fair to get this person here where God could bless them. Amen? Let me tell you, He blesses you every day by the mercy of His love. Amen? Unmerited favor, He blesses you every day. So if you're just happy with the little blessings that He gives you every day, that's fine. But when something comes in your life and you need Him, amen, you want to know that you know that you know that you know. Are you with me? You got two people here that know that. They know that they know now. Amen? You want God moving in your life? Forgive. Sounds simple. So I forgive you. No, it's not simple. How many know it's not simple to always forgive? It's not. But if you want God moving in your life, then remove that stuff that's holding you down. You all know, you argue with somebody who disagrees with you, you're never going to win the argument, amen? You argue with somebody who doesn't want to hear, you're never going to win. You're never going to win. You're just never going to. But, you see, you got God, see? God will make you win without regardless of the situation. He will lift you up above it, and you'll look back and say, why was I worried about? What was there that I was so upset about? What was that little bit of money or that insult that they said to me or the way that they... Because look around. He's given you a new family. Look at everybody. How you guys come together. How we can't get started at 10:30. Dave, imagine, Chuck, we can't get started at 10:30. When we first came here, there were six people. We could have got started at 10:15 and over at 10:30. We can't get started at 10. And as a pastor, I'm saying decency and order. Get them started. But I'm saying, you know what? Love. Love. I love the love. We have to leave early today because the scouts are coming at 2 o'clock. Oh, 3 o'clock? Okay, we don't have to read that quick. God gives you a new family for so many reasons. To pray together, to lift each other up, for testimony. Say, hey, I know you're going through something, but God, look at God got me through it, and we're going to get you through it with God. Amen? I want God in your life. I don't want you down. I don't want you depressed. I don't want you anxiety, because this book, the Bible says anxiety causes depression. Anxiety. The doctors are trying to give you medicine that'll kill you because it says so on the commercial. Pastor Larry ain't making it up. You see those commercials? Well, I'm depressed. Take this medicine. Well, your legs might fall off. Your eyes might go blind. But you might take it, and it might help you. Am I making it up? You see the commercials. This book says anxiety causes depression. You trust God, you don't have anxiety. You don't worry. Does it mean you don't worry about paying your electric bill? Of course not. Don't worry about having food on the table? Of course not. When you argue with your spouse, your heart is sad. It doesn't mean that your life's going to be perfect. Amen? It doesn't mean that bad things are not going to happen to you because of the world outside. Amen? But it means that when they do or when something comes against you, God will lift you up. Your brothers and sisters will lift you up. Your joy will be beyond understanding. The Bible says surpassing your understanding. That's why you go to church. You don't go to church with 5,000 other people and sit there and leave and say, I went to church. What did you just do? I don't know. What did the pastor say? I don't know. What did you sing? I don't know. But I went to church, so I guess I'm not going, you know. So why did you go? Amen? This God doesn't put any demands on you except to love Him. He doesn't put any demands on you, put you in bondage, say, if you don't agree with this, you're going to be bad luck. It doesn't say that, amen? Because you got unmerited favor. You got grace. Other people come against you. Other religions, man-made religions, will come against you and say, well, you're not one of us, so you're either one of us or bad things are going to happen to us. I say, really? You're just a person. My God said He loves me, so I think I'll choose my God. Amen? Good things happen to those who follow, and strength beyond your own imagination. Imagine strength. People seeing things happening and saying, I wonder how they got through it. They got through it because of love in God. Amen? Testimony with God. You want God to move. Yeah, you can make God move when you put his word back to him. When you take the word from him and hand it back to him and say, Lord, I just gave forgiveness. The Bible says when I give, it is given back, Lord. Now please show me. Lord, I just asked. And the Bible said, when I ask, I shall receive. I'm not going to get ahead of you, Lord, because I've asked for something, but I'm not going to get it. I don't need your help to do it now that I've asked you. But Lord, I've put it out there, so now it's you and me. I've seeked, and I'm not, and I'm showing myself approved. And every time you do that, something has to happen. God has to, and that's when I read this right here. It said, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And his courts with praise. Praise. Praise God. See, Pastor Larry, why do you always say, give him praise, because it gets your mind off of you. It gets your mind off of outside. It gets your mind off of things that are bothering you, and you realize that God's still in control, amen? And the darkness that you see, you have to understand God is still in control. And you just, when things seem the worst, is when God really starts to act. Because people start calling on him. Say, well, Pastor, why does he wait? Because people haven't called on him. I will say one thing about last night. I heard somebody last night giving a speech on TV saying, well, we need to pray. And I sat up and I'm going to tell you, I'm emotional. I can't be a pastor without emotion. And I looked and I said, pray to who exactly? Who? You took God out of school. You can't read the Bible. You can't read the Bible in school. Well, you got to pray. To who? You can't have the Ten Commandments on a building because somebody else doesn't want it there. So who are we praying to exactly? This? Pray to the earth? We're praying to Mars? Who are we praying to? See, you can't have it both ways. But we know the truth, amen? We need to pray because we know what prayer does. But I heard somebody who would have never said that before say last night, well, we need to pray. And I said, well, glory, let's get the ball rolling. Now is our turn, amen, to wear a shirt that says, Jesus loves you. Walk around and say, Jesus loves you. We need to be proud of him, amen. We need to tell others about him. We need to show others what God does in your life, amen. That'll move the world. So let's pray together this morning, hallelujah. Can we have the choir with us this morning, hallelujah. Lord, we're praying to you. We believe, Lord. We believe. We just don't believe in God. We believe you, God. We believe you, God. Today is the greatest day of our lives because it's a greater day to draw closer to you. It's our chance to know you more. It's our chance to put faith in you. We've come here today not to hear a lot of words, but to hear from you, to hear about you, to know you. When we leave here, we know that it was all about you. We're going to pray, Lord, to you. That means we're going to talk. To you, not in repetition over and over the same. No, we're going to talk to you like we would talk to our natural father, our natural mother. We're going to talk to you from our hearts, just conversation. Help us, Lord. Help us to be stronger. Help us to see, Lord, you more in our lives. And the only way that that can happen is if we let you in. We let you in. We remove the garbage and let you in. We remove the things that aren't from you. We remove the doubt and the fear and the anxiety and the depression. We remove it to let you fill us to be stronger. We know, Lord, that we'll still be sad. The Bible says and you take comfort, you give us comfort when we mourn. So we know that there'll be times of mourning. We know that, Lord. But we know that you'll give us comfort even then. That you'll hold us then. We know, Lord, that bad things happen to good people. So we need you even more because we know that. We love you, Lord. This church, this body in unity right now, lift up praises to you. Lift up prayers to you, asking you to change the world. Help us, Lord. Help us. Guide us, Lord. Show us the way, Lord. Let us be stronger, Lord, because with you, all things are possible. But with the world, everything just falls apart. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you that even in our our youth, you carry us through things. I know we all can think things we did when we were teenagers that, oh boy, we're glad our mom and dad didn't know about. But you carried us through those things. Lord, now we need you to carry our children and our grandchildren. And the only way we can do that is to tell them about you. To start praying at dinner. To start putting all the noise away and just talk to our children. Just talk. Share love. Share the love, because love never fails. Today, as it was then, love never fails. This time of year, Lord, when we celebrate your birth, the birth of Jesus, let it be even a greater time to share your love, to show the world how beautiful you are, and all you've done in our lives, and all you're going to do in our lives, Lord. We thank you for the God that you are, for the Father that you are, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why did we spend so much time on Joseph? Because it's a beautiful story. It's an absolutely miraculous story. It's a story of somebody who faced more injustice than we can ever imagine, yet walked through it, and God raised him up. Amen. A Hebrew boy was in the lead and charged the king of Egypt. Amen. The Egypt made a Hebrew boy its king. The Pharaoh said, "Everything under your hand except my throne." Amen. God lifts you up. Say that with me. Hallelujah. Lifts you up. And we also read about forgiveness, because his brothers tried to kill him, and then they sold him into bondage. Amen. They knew what they were doing, but he forgave them. Say that with me. He forgave them. And let me tell you something about forgiveness. Somebody knows that you've forgiven them, and they realize what they did or said was wrong. They never, it's like the seed that in them that just never seems to go away. Every time they see you, they're reminded of something, and it's not a very pleasant thing, but you walk with that. And I only say that because it happened in my life. Somebody I love more than just, you know, I love my wife, but I'm saying in my family, said something to me one day that if it just a natural would have just torn me apart, but I knew that he was sick, and I knew that he said, and so I forgave him immediately, but it hurt me right here when he said it. And to the day he passed to be with Jesus, he would remind me that I'm really sorry, I should have, and there was a part of me that just wanted to shake him, but that was the thing he had to carry, amen? So when you forgive, you release them and let them carry the burden, and you don't carry it anymore. So Joseph did that with his brothers. After all they did to him, he forgave them. And God had a way of doing miraculous things. Say that, miraculous things. Now, I did a little study on Egypt. And Egypt was settled, according to some of the things I read, by Ham. Does anybody remember who Ham was? David? No. Noah's son. One of Noah's sons, and Noah was in the boat. Remember the ark? Remember the Noah's ark? Well, the boat settled, and Ham actually was one of the first ones that actually settled in Egypt. And Egypt was beautiful. 8,000 B.C., it was climate change and overgrazing. I said it. Climate change. Because the earth is always changing. Amen? But back then, Egypt was so fertile, and the Nile Valley was so fertile, and everything was so green. It was a beautiful place. It was like the Garden of Eden. Are you with me? And over the years, over thousands of years, things changed. Well, they say Ham was one of the first descendants, one of the first start in Egypt. And Egypt was a great country. It was one of the first major powers, nations, back around 3000 B.C. And they built the pyramids. Y'all remember the pyramids? Have you ever thought of that? And people used to think that they were made by slaves. But the more I read, the more I realized they weren't made by slaves. There might have been some slave labor. But they were made by just men, skilled artists. Are you with me? You ever see somebody who built a bridge and you look at it and say, how did they do that? The men who built the pyramids were so perfect, they were so precise, that they were made by skilled labor. Yeah, they hired other people to pull the lot, to pull the stone, and they cut the stone, and they covered it with limestone, and sometimes they covered it with granite. And you look at the pyramids today and say, where is it? Well, the granite and the limestone were taken to build other buildings. After another 1,000 years, they started stealing. Amen? And I'm only telling you this because this is real. This book, the Bible, is real. It's real, amen? The people, the pharaohs in the Bible, they're real people. They found their mummies. Y'all know what a mummy is? Not just like the movie from the 1950s with the guy dragging the foot. Mummies are real. They found mummies. They may have actually had the pharaoh who was with Moses during Exodus. They think that they have the pharaoh who was with Joseph. They're not sure. And I like that they say they're not sure, don't you? I like them saying they're not sure. Sure, because then I say, you know what? I like that. I agree with that. That they're not, but they have five. How many? Mummies. The real people, the real deal people from the Bible. And Egypt was the center of all that. And when the famine came, the Hebrew families went to Egypt. Amen? And who was leading Egypt? Joseph, the Hebrew boy. You see God's hand at this? You see how it all kinds of comes together with God? The impossible to the possible. Amen? And I can't tell you how exciting, how much fun it is. My wife and I are talking about the Sphinx and the monuments, and they have writing. Actually writing, and they've learned how to tell what they... And it was only 200 years ago, brothers and sisters, that they started finding the mummies, amen? That they started finding the caves where they were hidden. And so, 3,000 B.C. to 200 years ago, history is still being found. Hallelujah. I just get so excited when I see that this book is unlike any other book. It just is. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, this is in Genesis 50, towards the end of Genesis. Now their father Jacob had died. Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead. They said, perhaps Joseph will hate us now and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to him, listen to what he said. Listen to his faith. He said, do not be afraid, my brothers, for am I in the place of God? Joseph is saying, I'm not going to judge you. Joseph is saying, I forgive you. I have to. He said, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household. And Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children. That's one of Joseph's children to the third generation. The children of Makar, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph made him make one promise. When God comes here and takes you out of Egypt to your land, take my bones with them. He made them promise. He forgave them to their homeland. Hallelujah. He forgave them. He said God had his hand in everything that happened. If you can look at the world today, look at the world and look and say to yourself, God has a hand in this. I just don't know where it is exactly. But I'm going to keep praying because God has a hand in this. Amen? Then you will start to have peace that surpasses understanding. Are you with me? Now, how many are going to go see Genesis? Dave, you said you went to see it?
No, I didn't.
Sure. It's not out till Christmas.
Yeah, right.
Exodus. People understand Egypt and Israel Israel is in Egypt because Joseph. Joseph brought all the Hebrew people to Egypt for the 7-year famine. So here they are. Everything is beautiful, amen? Everything is wonderful. He made a deal with the Pharaoh. He made a deal with Egypt. He said 1/5 of all the produce, whatever you is, livestock, produce, 1/5 goes to Egypt, 4/5 stays with the people, amen? So that you can have food, you can garden, you can build a life, amen? You know something very special about Egypt? Do you know that women were on equal terms with men? You know, there was a queen in Egypt. She was a pharaoh. Women in Egypt, when they worked, they got equal pay as men. That's something you might want to look up, and it was so interesting to see that. It wasn't until the Greek philosophy where women were no longer equal to men. But in Egypt, they understood. They understood and they made women. You should be happy, lady. I know it's a good thing. But I thought it was interesting. So now, Hebrew, the Jewish people are in Egypt and everything's well. Everything's beautiful. Everybody's happy. And then you open up the page to Exodus. Now there arose a king, a new king over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more than mightier than we are." And the king said, "Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of our land." Hallelujah. 300 years. 300 years. Joseph died. It was 300 years. The new Pharaoh, the new king of Egypt, 300 years later. We talk about George Washington, amen? That's 240 years ago. 300 years after Joseph, this person becomes king of Egypt. And he's saying, "I don't know anything about these people. I don't know who Joseph was. I don't really care. That was 300. Why should I care? All I see is all these Hebrew people out there, and they outnumber us, and I'm afraid if they turn against us, they're going to throw us out of our own land." Amen? Do you see what's happening? They'll throw us against us and go up and kick us out of our own land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for the Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramus. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the names of one was Shephar, and the name of the other Pau. And he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God. Amen? Say that with me. The midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Well, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, king. For they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore, listen, it's beautiful. Listen to what, "Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them." Can I tell you, even then, when you turn to God, beautiful things happen. Amen? They the Pharaoh told them to do something and they didn't because they feared who? Our God. They didn't fear him out of fear like afraid. They loved him. They had reverence for God. Amen. They knew that their God would never want them to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. So Pharaoh commanded all his people saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So he's not even going. He's going right to the kids now. Every son who is born, cast him in the river, every daughter you save alive. And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife as a wife of daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch. She put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done with him. She didn't put him in the river, amen? She didn't put him out in the current. She laid him in the reeds by the river bank. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark moving among the reeds, she sent her maid to go get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. She had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Now listen, here's God again, listen. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go call a nurse from one of the Hebrew women that she may nurse a child for you? Is that slick? You understand? The sister of the Hebrew, the woman who had the baby, she said, I'll go call a nurse from the Hebrew women. I'll find one and she can nurse the child for you. And the Pharaoh's daughter said, yes, go. So the maid went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to the Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. Moses was raised where? In Egypt. The greatest schools, the best teaching. Moses was in the Pharaoh's house, amen? He was with the Pharaoh's sister in the castle, amen? However you want to picture it. He had the best of scholars. He had the best teaching. He had the best food. He had the best of everything. But above all that, thank you, Lord, he had his mother. His mother. And what would she talk to Moses about? Will you ever wonder? She would talk to Moses about the Hebrew nation. She would talk to Moses about the traditions of our Father in heaven. Amen. She would talk to Moses about God, about how beautiful he was, how wonderful he was, and how he kept them safe, and all the things that he did for us. His mother had time to nurture him, to plant seeds in him, amen? Even as he grew up as an Egyptian, as far as he knew, the son of a queen. He could have had everything he wanted, but the seeds that his mother planted in him started to grow, amen? This Moses, this is the beginning. This is how he started. This is how he became known. The people in Egypt, now you understand, he's the Pharaoh's son. Amen, the daughter. Are you with me? The people in Egypt, they loved Moses. They saw him as an heir apparent. He could have been Pharaoh. They loved him. They worshipped him. They thought he was wonderful. You see what God is doing? Another Hebrew boy in another country, amen, becoming lifted up to becoming king again. Are you with me? That's Moses. And all the time that the king is doing that, the mother is nurturing him, talking about God, learning about God. And if Ham truly was one of the early settlers of Egypt, there was a lot of writing that he could have read about. You see, Moses brothers and sisters, wrote the first five books of the Bible. You all know that? He wrote the first five books. The first book, he had to learn. Amen? The first book, he had to know about. So somebody had to teach him about in the beginning. Amen? But he had Ham. He had the writings of other Hebrews. He had the teachings of other Hebrews. Amen? He had Joseph. He could go back and read Joseph's writing. Amen? He had all that. He had all that to work off of. He had all that to live through. He had that. And he had God. Amen? And that's the beginning. When you go see the movie Exodus and you see the end, understand that there was a beginning to get the Hebrew nation there, to set my people free. When he came back, he was 80 years old when he came back. Understand that. He was a young man here. He was a young, strong man. He was 80 when God called him back. And you say, well, Pastor Larry, it said in the Bible that he didn't almost want to go. He tried to fight God because he was 80 years old and his faith was strong in God, but his faith wasn't strong in him. Amen? He thought he was too old. He thought he might be too weak. He thought he might fail. That's all. That's all. But that's how God works. Are you with me? Joseph saved the Hebrew nation. Moses saved the Hebrew nation. But they did it with one person. Who did they do it with? God. God will save you. He will lift you. He will give you peace. He will, if you trust him like that. If you start to see everything like Joseph said, yeah, you guys were bad to me, but it wasn't you. God had a plan. So you tell yourself today, God has got a plan, and get out of his way. If you've asked him for something, get out of his way and wait for the timing. If you're knocking, get out of his way and he'll show you. Amen. He doesn't need your help. He just wants you to love him. Deacon Chuck, I just want to tell you from our conversation that this church will pray for you every second of every minute. And we know that the testimony, there's no doubt, but we know sometimes your heart and your mind, you get a little weary. But we're going to tell you, we're not going to let that happen. I'm not even just going to let doubt enter and just say that whatever God has, God knows what he's doing. Whatever happens, God knows what he's doing. And then you will be standing here and telling everybody every single thing, but you're not alone, okay? This is what family is all about. And this is what faith is all about, amen? We all need to walk on our own faith. We all go through things. I have a son in Arizona who lost his job. My wife will tell you, I'm having father-son issues with my son. You need to pray for me. But I see God. I have to see God at work. Amen? Even if I don't see it, you understand what I'm saying? I have to believe. Same with you. When you walk with the Lord. You walk and don't let doubt or worry or fret, because that's the devil's tool for you. Because everything will be because you love Jesus. Amen? You just have to hold on to that and just know that everybody here is your brother and your sister now. They were and they always will be. Let's give God praise and glory. I want you to have God every minute in your life. It doesn't make it perfect, brothers and sisters. You're going to argue with your husband. You're going to argue with your wife. You're going to have disagreements with your boss. But God carries you through if you don't allow the devil to just get you going. Amen? I want you to be the strongest congregation in the whole world. I do. As a pastor, I just want you to feel God in your lives and say, our church is such a wonderful home. It's building. It's growing. It's alive because of God. Amen? Because of God in our lives. And we can't wait to tell others. And Deacon, I'm sorry if I stepped out, but we can't keep... We need to be together. We need to hold together. When we all have needs and love, we need to come together. Amen? Because the strength is in our numbers. Give God